Hello and welcome to the audio transcription of the Back Page,
the Talking Sports newspaper,
dated the 23rd to the 29th of January 2019. Produced by Vista. Telephone 0116 249 8839. Items are selected, read and recorded by the Gartry Audio Services team. The team members this week are
Andrew,
Daniel,
Jeff,
Sean,
and Malcolm.
City news.
Leicester City have taken out two bank loans as they press ahead with the build of their new training ground and the development of the King Power Stadium. City have borrowed from Australian multinational Macquarie Group to help fund their big infrastructure projects, taking out loans in October and December. The club's new training headquarters in Seagrave could potentially cost $100 million, while a similarly grand investment will be needed to expand the King Power Stadium, with plans to develop Filbert Way in their initial stages. The first loan revolves around Riyad Mahrez's switch to Manchester City, with Leicester factoring the $60 million transfer fee in order to receive it up front. The deal to sell Mahrez to the Premier League champions was agreed last summer, with Leicester and Man City settling on a payment plan of three instalments. Man City paid a portion up front with two $18 million instalments to follow on July the 31st, 2019 and July 31st, 2020. The Abu Dhabi-backed club will now pay those instalments directly to the bank, with City taking a loan to receive the cash immediately. The second, larger loan, taken out in December, has been guaranteed against the TV money City will receive from the Premier League at the end of the next two seasons. As long as City are not relegated this term, those central payments will total between $200 million and $250 million, depending on the club's finishing league positions and how often their matches are broadcast. The loan figure is unknown and may not necessarily match the combined TV money figure. It is believed that both loans were planned in City's budget and are not as a consequence of the death of owner Vijay Srivaddhanaprabha, who was tragically killed in the helicopter crash outside the King Power Stadium 3 months ago. The evolution and development of City was a big part of Kun Vijay's vision for the club. He said last year, "Evolution is crucial to keeping our club moving forward, to remaining an established, successful, competitive force in the Premier League, to continuing to create memories for generations to come. The development of our proposed new training ground at Seagrave and the potential expansion of King Power Stadium are both our exciting strides forward for Leicester City in the coming years. Our ambition is to continue to grow and develop, to continue to reach for success together. We aim to make projects such as our training ground and stadium developments sources of pride for the Leicester City community, whose support continues to underpin everything we aspire for. Building work has started on the new training complex, based at the 185-acre site of the former Park Hill Golf Club off the A46, after the plans were approved by Charnwood Borough Council in October. Although the training ground and stadium will take priority, it is not expected to impact heavily on City's dealings in the transfer market. However, there has been a slowdown in spending since Claude Puel came to the club with an estimated net spend of $25 million in the three transfer windows he has overseen, the fourth lowest figure of the 20 Premier League clubs in that period. City made record profits of $92.5 million in 2016-17 off the back of their successful Champions League campaign. With no European football, figures for the 2017-18 season will be a lot lower, although City are expected again to post a profit.
Local football.
Ravens get their wings clipped in disastrous first hour at Banbury. Colville Town are 3 points back from the Southern Premier Central playoffs after a 4-2 defeat at Banbury United. The Ravens were never in the contest after Giorgio Rasulo's early penalty gave the home side the lead and were 4-0 down just after the hour. Alex Dean and Curtis Burrows salvaged pride for Colville, but they lost ground on their playoff rivals. One of those sides, King's Lynn Town, got the better of Barwell by the odd goal in five. Like Colville, Barwell were chasing the game and they were 2-0 down at half-time. But Eddie Nizovic gave them hope with 20 minutes to play. Mike Clunan restored the home side's two-goal lead, meaning Brady Hickey's second was too little, too late. In the Northern Premier League East, Loughborough Dynamo were also beaten on the road as they fell 4-1 to league leaders Morpeth Town. They also went 2-0 down in the first half after their long trip to the North East, but a Ryan Robbins penalty brought Dynamo back within a goal. But they conceded again almost immediately, and Morpeth netted a fourth through Sean Taylor as Loughborough were pushed 3 points back from the playoffs. In the United Counties League, Anstey Nomads won the big clash at the top of Division 1 as they beat Lutterworth Town 3-1. Darren Taylor, Cosmer Matwasa and James Hicks all scored in the first half for Anstey as they moved level on points with Lutterworth, but with a game in hand. Melton Town are 3 points further back after thrashing Burton Park Wanderers 7-0. In the Premier Division, Leicester Nirvana's build-up for their FA Vars tie in Canterbury next week was far from ideal. They were beaten 5-0 by Boston Town.
Spencer demands his senior players improve.
Harbour Town manager Stuart Spencer pulled no punches in his assessment of the team's recent performances following a 5-1 defeat to Deeping Rangers on Tuesday night. The loss was the Bees' fourth in a row and means they have failed to pick up a point in the United Counties League Premier Division since their Boxing Day success over Audley Town. This weekend brings a huge game for the club as they head to local rivals Desborough Town. And while the chance to throw themselves into the derby encounter might be the perfect chance to change their fortunes, Spencer insists it will need a change in focus from some of his more experienced players for it to happen. "I'm very disappointed at the performance levels of some senior players," Spencer admitted. "Our younger players are doing well, but they should be getting the lead from the senior ones. At the moment, it's the other way around. We've been punished by errors from players who should know better. They are not learning and there are too many mistakes. Against Deeping, there was a back pass straight to their centre-forward inside 40 seconds and we're 1-0 down. We were 3 down at half-time. In the end, we gave them all 5 of their goals. Attacking-wise, we caused them problems and the game generally was pretty even, but it looks like we've taken a paste in because we've handed it to them. There are players who should be moving forward and taking their games on, but at the moment they're standing still. I have told the players all this. People have to know what's acceptable and what is not. I have to decide whether we work with what we've got here and hope the message gets through or we get in new personnel. It's on my head, and maybe I need to be a bit more ruthless. We were having this conversation 12 months ago and the same mistakes are still being made. We can't wait forever for it to come right. If we do that, it becomes my fault, because I haven't done the right things to make it better. One way or another, we have to stop this run before it becomes a rot. The match against Desborough should at least give the players a rivalry to focus on, as well as the bread and butter 3 points. And Spencer feels there will be no extra need for inspiration. "If you can't get up for this one, then there are definitely problems with the people in the camp," he said. "It shouldn't need anything from us to get the team ready to play Desborough. It's a chance to do the double of the big local rivals. We need to stand up to them first, and if we do that, we have enough going forward to cause them problems. For all the issues we've had, there is enough in terms of our attacking nature to give us optimism. But the defence has been nowhere near the mark, and the game will show us how much some players have learned in the last 4 days.
Biggest win of the season after 10-goal Town trounce rivals. Uppingham Town stormed to their biggest victory of the season on Saturday after a 10-0 home success over near neighbours Oakham United Reserves. Second place Town are now unbeaten in their last 18 games and have a 12-point cushion over the chasing pack in Division 1 of the Peterborough League. Although the final scoreline suggested a very one-sided game, it was Oakham who created the best chances in the first 15 minutes of the opening period and could have been 2 goals up with better finishing. Uppingham reacted to their slow start to the game and began to create chances, with Jack Salt hitting the bar after 17 minutes from a Rob Foster corner. It was shortly after that that Uppingham went ahead with a Rob Montgomery finish from close range. Montgomery then almost made it 2-0 with another close-range finish after 25 minutes, but it was ruled out offside. Uppingham did score their second goal soon after though, from a cross shot which was deflected in off the Oakham defence for an own goal. Will Thomas then scored with a well-taken volley from just outside the box. With 10 minutes of the first half remaining, it was 3-0. Salt was unlucky not to increase the lead when he again hit the woodwork with a 25-yard shot from a free kick. Ryan Lord, in the Oakham goal, was kept very busy for the remaining 10 minutes of the first half and was responsible for keeping the scoreline at 3-0 to Uppingham at the interval. Town started the second half in a more positive manner and scored a further 2 goals through Montgomery to complete his hat-trick. Rob Foster then got in on the goal-scoring act by hitting 4 goals for the second week running before Jordan Spencer sealed the success with the goal of the game as he cut inside from the right and hit a 20-yard left-footer into the top corner. Town travelled to Oundle in their next league game on Saturday with a 2 p.m. kick-off.
Town ignite title race with Magnificent 7.
Melton Town 7, Burton Park Wanderers 0.
Free-scoring Melton Town closed to within 3 points of the United Counties League summit after chalking up their 7th straight win on Saturday. Having dispatched Huntingdon 8-0 in their previous home game and then scored 4 at Bugbrook, Town put 7 past Burton Park Wanderers without reply on Saturday to make it 19 goals in 3 games. With Anstey Nomads seeing off Lutterworth Town 3-1 in their top-of-the-table clash, Melton are just 3 points adrift of both rivals in 3rd place, but Anstey have a game in hand. Melton welcomed one of their recent bogey sides to the sign right, but were boosted by co-manager John Stevenson making only his 2nd start of the season after 3 months on the sidelines with injury. Town typically started on the front foot and were awarded a penalty in only the 2nd minute for a push on Parsons as he controlled a Stevenson corner. Clark guessed the right way and got a hand to Parsons' spot kick, but it trickled over the line. Melton controlled the game and put themselves in dangerous positions in the area without creating any openings. The only real shot of note saw Westwood's speculative 25-yard attempt find Clark's hands. Reeve pounced on a long clearance out of defence and rounded the keeper, but Bell recovered to make a last-ditch tackle as Melton started to ramp up the pressure. And Park's resilience was finally broken in the 36th minute, when a corner was cleared only as far as Rigby. His cross was met by Reeve, and he cleverly headed on to Wilson, whose diving header found the bottom corner of the net. Almost straight from the restart, Westwood collected the ball on the halfway line and played a clever cross to Parsons in the area, who brought it down on his chest and volleyed past Clark for 3-0. Melton now looked like scoring whenever they put Wanderers' fragile-looking defence under pressure, and just before half-time, Rigby showed his pace down the wing and steered a low shot across the area. Clark missed the ball, but the ball rebounded into the net off the unfortunate Deneen. Melton was slow to start after the break, and guilty of cheaply giving the ball away in defence, but Esservoso couldn't find the net from 20 yards. Reeve was unlucky soon after, when McInally's poor backpass found Town's top scorer, with just the keeper to beat, but his powerful shot was well saved by Clark. Westwood went close again, when he headed a corner against the post and rebounded to safety. But Melton underlined their superiority with a 5th when Deneen's defensive error allowed Parsons to steal the ball and sidefoot into an open goal for his 2nd hat-trick in 3 games. Melton's goal threat resurfaced minutes later when Hill's corner was missed by everyone and found Wilson at the back of the 6-yard box and he planted the ball inside the far post for Town's 6th. Melton had the final word with just minutes left of this mismatch when the ball went out to Reek, who played in Parsons on the edge of the area, and was bundled to the ground. Everyone stopped, expecting a free kick, but the ball fell to Price, who slotted it into the bottom corner. Melton have finally moved back into the promotion race and go to Birstall on Saturday, top of the league's form table, as they try to make it 8 wins in a row and heap more pressure on the top 2.
Tigers news.
Tigers seal under 18 league title with 5th bonus point win. Leicester Tigers guaranteed top spot in the Northern Conference of the Premiership Rugby Under-18 League with a 28-14 victory over Yorkshire Carnegie at Welford Road. It was Tigers' 5th win in as many games and the 5th time they had claimed a try bonus point as they set about defending the title they won last summer. Flanker Emelka Ilioni scored twice to go alongside tries from Matt Potts and Sean Allsop to seal top spot with 1 game remaining in the league programme, the visit to Worcester next month. Ilioni opened the scoring with 13 minutes on the clock, Sam Costlow converting the try. Yorkshire came back into the game, though, when prop Connor Hancock dived over from close range. Dan Lancaster added the kick to level the scores at 7-7. Potts restored Tigers' lead as he started and finished the move that brought their second try, Costlow again converting. 5 minutes into the second half, Tigers gave themselves some breathing space as replacement hooker Allsop touched down following a powerful line-out drive. Tigers continued to press forward and were rewarded when pressure on the visitors led to Ilioni going over for his second score and the bonus point. Costlow added the extras. Yorkshire got a second of their own through Hancock, with Lancaster converting, but Tigers would finish on the front foot to round off another impressive all-round display.
Lots of positives as Tigers push a stronger Sandside all the way.
Northampton 47, Leicester Tigers 20.
On the face of it, being on the wrong end of a 47-20 scoreline would suggest that Leicester Tigers had one of those days to forget against Northampton Saints at Franklin's Gardens. That was not the case on Saturday afternoon. Nobody's about to suggest that Saints were not the better side and didn't deserve their win. But given the respective strengths of the team selected by both clubs for the Premiership Cup clash, that ought really to have been the case anyway. Tigers can take a good deal from the way they made their neighbours work for their victory, and it was only in the final 6 minutes when the game really ran away from Leicester. They had been in the mix from the opening exchanges up until that point, as the home side finished with a flurry to nail down the victory they needed to make the semi-finals with 3 late tries. Tigers had opened the game on the front foot, and good work in the forwards enabled number 8 Fred Tuilagi to force his way over to score the afternoon's opening try. Saints' response was to push Tiger back into their own half for long periods of the first half, and tries from James Grayson, former Tigers lock Dom Barrow, and hooker James Fish wrestled the early initiative from the visitors. A Joe Ford penalty, and he really should have added a second, led the half-time score at 19-10 to Saints, who clearly held the upper hand, but were far from home and hosed. They did, though, claim the bonus point try they yearned for as they sought a place in the Cup semi-finals. It came just 5 minutes after the restart, when flanker Heinrich Brusso breached the Tigers' defence, and at 26-10, it was beginning to look a case of damage limitation for Leicester. But they stood their ground, particularly in the scrum, and clawed back 3 points with another Ford penalty before Tom Vandell chased down Tom Hardwick's chip, was held up over the line as he went agonisingly close to scoring his first Leicester try in 10 years. However, Ford did set nerves fluttering in the home ranks on 68 minutes. It was Tuilagi who charged down George Furbank's kick, enabling his fly half to gather the ball and race 50 metres for a try, which he converted to leave the game back in the balance with just 6 points between the sides. And when Tigers had a line out in Northampton territory, there was the real hint of Leicester pulling a result out of the fire. However, their set piece misfired, and with it went their final opportunity as Saints produced a ruthless spell of rugby. Scrum half Cobus Reinach's close range try in the 74th minute killed off the game as a contest, and then winger Tom Collins was left with too much room on the left as he went over for Saints' 6th try. If that wasn't enough, and much to the delight of the home crowd, Reinach rounded off matters with a 50-metre burst to claim his 2nd score, which enabled Grayson to round off the scoring with the simplest of conversions. That 21-point burst was harsh on Tigers, who featured 15 players in their squad who had come through the academy ranks and will take great experience from putting everything on the line against a strong Saints side. All the same, Saturday did leave many Tigers players and supporters with a lingering feeling of what might have been, and one that is becoming all too familiar this season, whatever the competition.
Our lads were in tears. It shows how much this meant to them. Leicester Tigers coach Brett Deacon said emotions ran high in the visitors' dressing room after a gusty performance against Northampton Saints at Franklin Gardens. Tigers went down 47-20 to their neighbours, but that scoreline was not a fair reflection of a genuinely competitive game, and Deacon was full of the praise for the efforts put in by the young Tigers side. Leicester were well in the picture when they trailed 26-20 in the final quarter, only for a late burst of 3 tries, seeing the home side pull away. "The lads were absolutely gutted," said Deacon. "There are lads in tears in the dressing room
which is a brilliant sign for us as it shows just how much it meant to them. We were 26-20 down and we had to start chasing the game. You are thinking about unleashing the bench, and we have Curtis Wilson, who is on loan from Doncaster and doesn't know anything about us as a club, and two academy lads who are 17 and 18 making their debuts. Credit to them, the scoreline does not reflect the game at all. The added experience that Saints had, especially in their back row and off the bench, also made life more difficult for Tigers. We were definitely in there, Deacon said. We had a line out on their 22 with 6 minutes to go, and the drive did not come out as we wanted it to. But credit to Saints, they were very good in the defensive breakdown all day and caused us problems with slow ball. Tiamana Harrison and Jamie Gibson are nuisances there, so it is something we need to take away. We need to work on our attacking breakdown. Look at both teams and you would say they were way stronger, but I can't fault our performance for 75 minutes. Our guys never gave up. Deacon had talked in the week about preparing well and concentrating on putting in a good performance, and he had no complaints on either count. They prepared well all week, he said. The preparation was outstanding from them. Their mindset from when the team was announced at noon on Friday, they were thriving on the opportunity to try and put up a fight and try to upset Saints, and I thought for 75 minutes we had an opportunity to do that. There are things we can tidy up, but the endeavour and the way they worked together was outstanding. Tigers now have a 2-week hiatus before a trip to face Saracens in the Gallagher Premiership at Allianz Park on February the 16th.
Local rugby.
Hinkley keep up playoff hopes with grinding win. Hinkley maintained their unbeaten home record with a 15-7 victory against the limited Stourbridge side in what could only be described as a dour encounter on a dank, dark midwinter afternoon at Leicester Road. Hornets were not at their best, but were too good for Stourbridge, outscoring them 2-1 to stay in touch towards the top of the National League 2 North. In the same league, Leicester Lions fell to a 28-23 home defeat to third place Huddersfield. Hinkley lacked precision in attack, letting slip numerous chances to score, but their defence was of the highest order, strangling the life out of Stour. The Stour pack perhaps had the best of the set pieces, and Hinkley's familiar line-out problems returned, but Stour simply lacked the firepower to threaten a well-drilled home defence. The match could hardly be described as a spectacle, but it was an effective demonstration of disciplined rugby. Hinkley director of rugby, George Shooter, said afterwards, "I were pleased with the victory against a side who were better than their league position might suggest. Our defence was outstanding, particularly in the second half. It would have been nice to have scored a few more tries, but I'd settle for 4 points any day of the week." With all the top three sides at the start of play losing, the win puts Hinkley right back in the promotion race. The Hornets may not be favourites, but a second-place finish in a promotion playoff is by no means out of the question. It was not until the 23rd minute that Hinkley registered the first score of the game, Ryan Howe going over in the corner and Joe Wilson adding the extras. Hinkley went further ahead just after the half-hour when Aaron Phillip got over the line to score, despite the attention of several Stour defenders. At 12-0, Hornets looked to be comfortably in charge, but Stourbridge hit back to make it 12-7 at half-time. The second period was played almost exclusively in the Stour half, but Hornets only had a Wilson penalty on 66 minutes to show for their efforts. Leicester Lions, meanwhile, let a decent early lead slip as solid forward play and effective place-kicking won the day for Huddersfield. Lions made a splendid start to the game when right from the kick-off they took possession, worked the ball up the pitch, then shifted the ball right for Max Titchener to sail through the Huddersfield defence for the opening try after just 1 minute. On 11 minutes, Huddersfield's Chris Johnson was yellow-carded. With a numerical advantage, on 13 minutes, Lions drove forward for hooker Ollie Taylor to crash over the Huddersfield line to add Lions' second try and extend their lead to 10-0. As the game progressed, Huddersfield's forward power started to come to the fore, and by the 32nd minute, they had scored 2 converted tries to lead 14-10. Lions hit back and added their third try just before the break, when they shipped the ball out to Sam Benjamin on the wing, who outpaced the Huddersfield defence, to score, and Lions took back the lead, 15-14 at the break.
On 45 minutes, Lions' Ollie Taylor was yellow carded for a technical offence and within a minute had scored again to lead 21-15. Lions again refused to lie down, Taylor taking the opportunity to power his way over the line for Lions' fourth try and close the score to 20-21. But on 68 minutes, Huddersfield added their fourth converted try to open their lead to 20-28. 5 minutes from time, Huddersfield's Will Milner and Lions' Devon Constant were both yellow carded, and within a minute, Lions' Dan Lewis kicked a penalty to close the gap to 23-28. But that was as close as they came, though it did earn a losing bonus point. Lions head coach Andy Key said, "We made an exciting and enterprising start to the game with two tries in the first 12 minutes. I felt the team played well and took the game to Huddersfield, testing the opposition. I think the Huddersfield effective tight forward play got the better of us towards the end of the game. Lions' never give up attitude was much to their credit, and they showed good spirit for the 2 points obtained from the game."
Hornets damage promotion hopes and give South a lifeline. On a bitterly cold and blustery afternoon at Welford Road, South Leicester took advantage of Hinckley's abysmal away form to register a much-needed 30-25 victory over their local rivals and give themselves a chance of avoiding the drop. At the other end of the table, the defeat delivers what may well be a fatal blow to Hinckley's promotion ambitions. The Hornets have now lost 7 out of 8 away games since September and now lie in 6th, 10 points adrift of second-place Chester, who visit Leicester Road next week. Hinckley are still unbeaten at home, but until they learn to win away from home, they will not be able to mount a realistic promotion challenge. South took their opportunity well, visibly growing in confidence as the afternoon progressed and looking the hungrier of the two sides. But paradoxically, the game was still Hinckley's as the match went into time added on in the second half. Having just snatched the lead against the run of play, Hornets simply had to defend the final few minutes to take the spoils. Frankly, South did not look capable of breaking through, but a penalty unnecessarily conceded on the 22-metre line gave South, whose scrum had utterly destroyed the Hinckley 8 in the last 30 minutes of the match, the opportunity to drive to the line. The result was 4 scrum penalties against the Hornets and a yellow card for replacement prop Craig Bresland. With the scrums going uncontested, South opted to kick to the 5-metre line and force their way over from the line out with a well-executed catch and drive. South fly half Robert Povey rubbed salt in the Hinckley wounds by adding the extras from wide out. In the early stages, Hornets had often looked much the stronger of the two sides and were ahead by 11-15 at the break. But an injury to Hornets tight head Dave Peck on the cusp of half-time was to prove crucial. With Peck absent, the Hinckley scrum found themselves under severe pressure throughout the second period, which meant South were able to deny them the possession they needed. Hinckley director of rugby George Chutter said,
"I was pleased with the start we made and we scored 2 cracking tries, but in the final hour we were poor. We gave away the ball too easily and slipped off too many tackles. In the end, South deserved the win."
Basketball.
Josh makes his mark as he gets Ryder's chance at last. The contribution of one of Leicester Ryder's unsung young players, Josh Ward-Hibbert, has been acknowledged by head coach Rob Paternostro after seeing his team beat Plymouth Raiders 88-82. Ward-Hibbert scored 9 points and grabbed 3 rebounds in 17 minutes of play, as Riders extended their winning streak over Plymouth to 24 straight games and stayed undefeated in 2019. "Josh has been training extremely hard, and I told him on Wednesday I intended to use him against the Raiders at one of the early substitutions," said Paternostro. "He came on and really made an impact at both ends of the court. He is one of those guys who can impact a game just through his sheer athleticism. He is particularly effective in transition when his speed can catch defenders off guard. Ward-Hibbert has struggled for game time this season as he picked up an injury in early pre-season that has hampered his fitness. Josh is one of those guys that all the coaching staff and his fellow players have an enormous amount of respect for," said Paternostro. No matter whether he is playing or not, he always comes out and gives 100% in every training session. He also brings something different to our play and is a real disruptive force at times. He came in on Saturday night and immediately made a couple of big plays that helped build some momentum for us. Riders now travel to Glasgow Rocks on Friday at the BBL Championship, 7:30 p.m. This is the first time the teams have met this season and comes 2 days before the Rocks play in the BBL Cup final at the Arena, Birmingham. Elsewhere in the BBL Championship, London Lions consolidated pole position as they stroll to a 94-79 victory at the struggling Worcester Wolves. The Lions were on top form from tip to buzzer after a scorching opening period. Ladareus Tab led the way, one rebound shot of a big double-double after scoring 19 points. Point guard Justin Robinson was also in the money with 18 points and 5 assists. Bristol Flyers claimed their first win of 2019 after ending a run of 4 defeats by beating Sheffield Sharks 62-61. Bristol's bench outscored their opponents 24-2, with Chris Taylor playing a key role in snapping the Flyers' early 3-point shooting woes, and they take the win, despite being held to 33% from the floor. Justin Gray came up big down the stretch with the game winner as part of a 5-0 close, while Chris Taylor and Fred Thomas scored 10 points. Chester Phoenix move into a playoff spot with a close 89-83 away win at Surrey Scorchers. Jalen Hayes hit 20 points, racking up a 75% field goal shooting percentage, while Daniel Knoll also contributed a key 7 assists. London City Royals maintained their unbeaten home record with a 79-66 win over Worcester. The Royals put together a strong third period to take control and were able to survive a fourth quarter fight back from the Wolves with a 13-3 close to seal the win. Wes Washburn scored a flurry of late points in the fourth to finish with 21, while Will Neighbour was close behind with 18. Manchester Giants produced a strong final quarter effort to complete a weekend double with a 79-69 victory over Bristol. The Flyers led 69-64 with 5.37 left, but would not score again as Manchester put together an impressive 15-0 close to take the victory. Willie Clayton posted another double-double with 19 points and 14 rebounds. In the BBL Trophy, Manchester reached a second semi-final of the season after an impressive 89-71 win away at Newcastle Eagles. Manchester shot 56% from the field in a clinical display and out-rebounded their opponents 51-30. Vlatko Granic had a big game with a season-high 26 points, along with 7 rebounds, while Willie Clayton produced his usual double-double with 16 points and 17 boards. London City progressed to the trophy semi-finals after beating Worthing Thunder 116-75 for just a third road win in the last 9 trips. All 12 Royals got on the score sheet, led from the bench by the American duo Deshoni Much, 19, and Wes Washburn, 17, who combined to shoot 13-20, 65%, from the field, with the latter adding 3 assists and 4 steals on his debut. Leicester Riders women kept the pressure on at the top of the WBBL Championship with their 92-72 away win over BA London Lions. Riders continue to battle with WBBL Cup finalists Sevenoaks Suns and Sheffield Sharks for the championship title, while London are just about holding on to a playoff place after the defeat. Riders were hot from the start, hitting from long range and blitzing the Lions for a 31-12 first quarter lead. London were able to close the gap to 16, but never really threatened a comeback against the league leaders. Leicester had the game pretty much put to bed halfway through, leading 51-29 at half-time. Riders shot an impressive 13 three-pointers during the game. Jennifer Ashton knocked down a season-high 20 points, while Australian centre Kate Oliver and Bria Elmore added 15 apiece.
Riders get mojo back, but still struggle to put games to bed.
Rob Paternostro, column.
We have managed to recover our poise after a shaky end to 2018. We are sitting with just 3 losses and an extremely competitive BBL, where upsets of one sort or another are becoming the norm. With all the teams bar the league-leading London Lions on 6 losses or more, we should be pretty happy with where we are. But more than half the championship season remains for most clubs, so we can expect more upsets along the way. The win at home against Plymouth last weekend followed a pattern of matches where we have had to hold our nerve at home to eke out the victory. I can see the signs of improvement, but we struggle at times to convert what we should. On Saturday, it was close in finishing once again that let us down, and surprisingly, we were also profligate from the free-flow line, missing 9 after 24. Often it matters as much when you miss free throws, and that was the case for us against the Raiders, when we were threatening to put the game to bed after an 18-0 run in the third quarter. But our execution up to the final shot is improving, as is our overall defence, particularly late in games. Ultimately, the winning margin means nothing, except as evidence about the overall confidence and quality of our play, and we remain very much a work in progress. It was good to see J.R. Holder and Andy Thompson combining well at the end of the game to score the big baskets, but it would also be nice to give our home fans a little less trauma. A word also about Josh Ward-Hibbert, who was an extraordinary talent and a coach's dream. He never complains and always gives his best no matter the circumstances. He has struggled with injuries and played little this season, but I still had confidence to bring him on at the early stage in the game, knowing he would not let the team down. He brings a single-mindedness to his approach, probably a reflection of his time as a top professional tennis player, where it was all on him and there was no place to hide. His athleticism and strength give Riders something very different, especially on transition, where he can finish under pressure. Let's hope he can continue his improvements in an all-around game. Now we get our first look at Glasgow Rocks on Friday night, the first of 2 trips north of the border in the Championship. The Rocks were unconvincing early on, but as befits a team that has the core of Team Scotland at the Commonwealth Games, in forwards Kieran Arca, Gareth Murray and Alistair Fraser, they have improved as the season has gone on. They play us just 2 days before the BBL Cup final, when they face London Lions at the Arena, Birmingham, a very surprising twist of the fixture schedule. I know I would not be happy to play a league match just before a cup final, but every team is different and prepares their own way. The Rocks looked extremely professional in the way they handled an informed Manchester Giants in the cup semis, with Arca, the former GB captain, in imperious form. They have that nice blend of experience, along with an injection of young American talent, and like to control the tempo of the game. We have never found it easy handling that long trip north, usually on a Sunday, and I am sure that this time on a Friday night, the trip will be no easier. But the Riders overall have found it easier to find our best form on the road this season, so we will head there with confidence, but knowing that we must be on top of our game to beat the Rocks.
Loughborough's delight at their cup final double.
Loughborough Riders added 2 more trophies to their cabinet after winning the National Cup final for both men and women at the finals at the University of Essex. The National Cup is open to all clubs outside the professional leagues, the BBL and WBBL, and Loughborough Riders proved too strong for the competition. In the men's competition, Riders were underdogs against Team Solent Kestrels. At 6-0, Riders' start was quickly countered by the Kestrels, and the first quarter stayed close. Riders' Hosanna Katenge, who finished with 10 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists and 2 blocks, was responsible for much of Loughborough's offence, scoring 8 points. In the second quarter, Loughborough began to hit their stride, particularly at the defensive end. Loughborough were able to sneak in front, leading 38-34 at the half. A 17-point third-quarter explosion from Loughborough's Lucien Christophis was enough to break the final open and send the trophy home with the Riders. With the game finally balanced at 47-45 to Loughborough, with 4 minutes 14 remaining in the third quarter, a 16-0 run from the Riders deflated Solent, with Christophis doing most of the damage. He lit up the Kestrels from the perimeter. Christophis's exploits helped set up an 82-63 win for Riders. Kestrels shot only 29% from the floor and 2 for 22 from beyond the arc.
The MVP award went to Christofis, who added 7 more points to his third quarter haul for 24 in total, adding 6 rebounds and 2 assists for good measure. The talented shooter went 5-for-8 from 3-point range. In the women's final, 27 points from MVP Holly Winterburn were more than enough to help Loughborough Riders claim the National Cup over Reading Rockets. A final score of 81-54 highlighted the Riders' dominant performance, winning all 4 quarters of the final. The game got underway with a play that would mirror large periods of the final, as Winterburn wove her way around a couple of screens on the perimeter, shaking free of her marker before spotting up for a catch and shooting a 3-pointer. With Loughborough's ball movement as slick as ever, that meant Winterburn was able to fire away to devastating effect. With 10 minutes gone, the Riders led 21-9, and Winterburn had 13 points. A 19-0 run from the Riders straddled the first quarter break, opening the game up and putting Loughborough in the driver's seat. Winterburn also added 10 rebounds, 5 assists and 5 steals. Loughborough Riders head coach Mark Jarram said, "We knew there were certain key guys who we needed to limit their touches and make things really tough. Credit to our guys, they were able to be mindful of that and execute. Solent are very good in transition. We just wanted to get bodies back and make them play half court." Most valuable player Holly Winterburn said, "It's always easy to let up, but we've done it to teams and come back from 20 down, so we just kept playing and won it. This is so much fun to play in this team with my friends, the girls I go to school with. When it comes to doing well, it's the best."
It's no love on the rocks as Riders crash to defeat. Glasgow Rocks 101 points, Leicester Riders 81 points. Leicester Riders had a night to forget as they crashed to a 101-81 points defeat at Glasgow Rocks. Riders never really found their rhythm, and their normally reliable defence was unable to keep the Rocks at bay. The game started badly for the Riders with 2 turnovers and 2 missed shots, and they were 10 points to nil behind after barely 2 minutes. DeAndre Burnett bagged 7 points as they closed the gap to 12 points to 9. After Glasgow again moved 9 points clear, Burnett then hit 2 3-pointers to make it 20 points to 17, but that was as close as Riders would get to the Rocks in the entire game. 3s from Kieran Achara and Tadas Rinkunas, coupled with layups from Kenny Carpenter, had the home side 35 points to 22 ahead early in the second period. Josh Ward-Hibbert just about kept Riders in touch before another 4 points from Burnett made it 45 points to 39. They couldn't keep Glasgow out at the other end, however, and when the half-time buzzer sounded, Rocks were 53 points to 42 in front. Only Bach and Bears in the Champions League have managed more points in a half against the Riders this season than that. It got worse in the third quarter, with Boona and Dai netting 6 of 12 unanswered points by the Rocks that saw their lead out past the 20-point mark. At that point, the game was up. The sides largely traded scores in the fourth quarter, and a comeback by the Riders never looked likely. Leicester remain in third in the table, still with games in hand on the teams above them, but they missed the opportunity to move second and close the gap on league leaders London, who now are effectively 2 games better off. Burnett led the way for the Riders with 23 points, his joint highest tally in domestic play this season, but it was their defence rather than their offence that was for once the issue.
American football.
Universities will help Falcons recruitment.
Leicester Falcons' American football team has formalised a partnership with the neighbouring University of Derby, plus leading USA university, Baker from Kansas, to significantly improve scholar-player recruitment and coaching standards. The move sees Falcons and University of Derby collaborate with Baker University to be their preferred recruitment school, so judging player capabilities and character is made much easier. These US athletes will also have played together successfully for 3 to 4 years, so can help implement that winning system and training program in the UK. Another advantage is the head coach for Baker University, Mike Grosner, playing pro football in Nottingham in the 1990s and has a great understanding of the Brit Ball game. He's also played alongside Falcons general manager Guy Kersey and head coach Noel Kassar. Kersey said, "It's an exciting initiative that will see the University of Derby and Falcons coaches getting ongoing playbook and organisational assistance from Baker, which is a top-quality academic university, but also produces some of the best All-American college players. For the last 3 years, we've taken University of Derby scholars and given them opportunities to play for us in the UK Senior League, but this new, higher quality filter, via Baker alone, will work so much better because we'll both properly know the scholar's temperament, playing threshold, learning capacity, and whether they're suitable for overseas studying, etc. Taylor Brown, head coach for University of Derbyshire, American Football, said, "This is a fantastic opportunity for both universities. Personally, it was an amazing experience to come over to Derby as a scholar athlete, as a player coach, and help develop the players on my team. A lot of players in the UK come to the sport as rookies and have no experience. However, they have a ton of passion for the sport. It was astonishing to me to see how much effort and time they put in developing leagues and structure for games. I've had the privilege to play here now for 3 years and be on one of the top senior league teams here, the Leicester Falcons under Guy Kersey. From an academic perspective, who would not want to continue their education whilst continuing to play the sport they love? The University of Derby offers a vast array of courses to select, along with the support from facility and staff, who go all in with their students. I think the partnership with Baker University is the start of a great thing, and I'm really looking forward to being part of the journey." Mike Grossner, head football coach at Baker University, said, "We can't be more excited and honoured to form an American football graduate scholarship programme with the University of Derby and Leicester Falcons. Our football student athletes will have an opportunity to utilise the tool of football and complete prestigious bachelor's and master's programme in a 5-year span. Our kids will be ambassadors and teachers of our great sport abroad, and we can bring some of their student athletes to America in the same capacity. I've always cherished the memories and relationships formed playing football in Nottingham in the early 1990s, and it's nice to be able to pay it forward 28 years later. Huge thanks to Guy Kersey and Noel Kassar, former teammates of mine, for piecing together this groundbreaking opportunity for all three institutions, and we look forward to many years of success in both our countries." The University of Derby will provide master's degree courses to the successful Baker applicants, with funding assistance from the Sports Sponsorship Panel and the US government. The University of Derby already have a good track record for this, with a designated officer available who has previously gone through this process himself. Football-wise, the US scholar athletes will pay for the Falcons during the UK Premier League summer season, plus help coach their under-17s and under-19s, and then transition into the University of Derbyshire team and the BUCS season from September or vice versa. University of Derbyshire will also benefit from additional recruitment through the Leicester Falcons Academy, made up of 500 participants aged 12 to 19, with direct access to these potential students via the database, recruitment sessions and open days.
Athletics.
Catherine honoured for her dedication to gymnastics.
A gymnast coach and judge from Shepshed is to be officially recognised at this month's National Awards for her outstanding contribution to gymnastics by the sports governing body in the UK. Catherine Bowden will receive the Award of Merit on Saturday at the ceremony at Birmingham Town Hall that celebrates the achievements of those working in gymnastics across the country. The international judge, who has worked tirelessly for the sport, began her gymnastics career 30 years ago and represented Great Britain at both junior and senior level. Since then, she has turned her attention to officiating and has been invited to judge competitions all over the world, including European Championships, World Cups, the 2014 Commonwealth Games, and the European Youth Olympic Festival. While she enjoys judging local competitions, Bowden's next goal is to officiate the 2024 Olympics Games. Hailing from a gymnastics family, the sport runs in her blood, with her parents having coached and officiated for over 30 years. The Award of Merit has been awarded to Bowden for her years of service to the sport and her country, competing, coaching, and now judging on a world stage. Bowden said, "I am very honoured to receive the Award of Merit from British Gymnastics. Having been involved with gymnastics for most of my life, I am delighted to have been recognised for my contribution to the sport." Jane Allen, Chief Executive of British Gymnastics, said, "Each year at our national awards, we delight in recognising and celebrating the achievements of the most inspirational people within our gymnastics community. People all over the country dedicate their time to ensuring gymnastics thrives, and all those involved have a positive and rewarding experience. Awards given on the night span grassroots medal success, as well as individuals and organisations demonstrating leading practice when it comes to inclusivity, equality and safeguarding. I'm thrilled that Catherine has been recognised for her hard work over the years. Without the contribution of members like her, our sport wouldn't be what it is today. It's important we recognise the extraordinary contribution of these amazing members. They are great heroes of gymnastics, and we are very grateful for the contribution that they make.
Results prove that HIIT January running has been a great success.
A large group of Welland Valley Triathlon Club members completed the Gloucester Half Marathon. The event was set as the end goal for the 16-week programme named HIIT January Running. Led by club coach Brian Corcoran, the programme's helped members not just run faster, but educated them on how to run smarter. Its impact on the race results show, with many club members achieving personal bests or much improved running times. Corby Triathlon Club has been reflecting on a successful year for their 43 athletes. Year 8 student Sophie Maltby took part in the East Midlands Junior Triathlon Series. She competed in 7 out of 8 events in the series and claimed 1 first place finish, 1 second, 2 third and 3 fourths. It was enough to help her finish 3rd overall in the series. Jax Roberts also had a strong second season, competing in TriStar 1 for the first time. He also competed in the East Midlands Junior Triathlon Series against other athletes, some of whom were 2 years older than him. He has 3 top 10 finishes with a best of 6th at the Nottingham Triathlon. He also competed in an open water triathlon at Chelmondeley, finishing 17th out of over 120 athletes, and won the 8-9-year-old category at Colville. Ruby Collins competed in 6 events and was in the top 10 for all of them. Her best result was a podium 3rd at Buckingham Tri on a hot day in June. Alfie Major took part in the Market Harbour Triathlon. He selected the Tri-a-Tri, which consists of a 200-metre swim, an 11.5-kilometre bike ride, and then a 2.5-kilometre run for his first outing with adults. He surprised everyone, including himself, by coming 4th overall and 2nd in the male category, winning a prize he was too young to use.
Bowls.
Razor knocks favourite out of world champs. Les Gillett moved a step closer to a first ever world indoor singles title by dumping tournament favourite Paul Foster, MBE, out of the competition at Potters on Tuesday. The Whole World Sports Bowls club ace knocked out his Scottish opponent on a tie break to seal a place in Friday afternoon's quarterfinals against the unseeded Scott Edwards. The result also gained revenge over the 5-time champion after losing their Scottish International Open semi-final clash in November, as Gillett eventually came through 5-4, 2-9, 2-0. "We both weren't at our best today, but a win's a win," said the 48-year-old. "Like our match in Scotland when Paul got over the line, but he didn't play his best there and I didn't either." Gillett added, "I'm as pleased as punch. I've played Paul on a number of occasions over the years and I've been second best quite a few times. It was two guys having a scrap on a green and luckily I came out on top." With many high-scoring matches of late at the International Arena, the first set bucked the trend as it was singles all the way. Gillett always just had the edge as Foster, fresh from winning the Open Paris title with Alex Marshall, struggled to repeat his usual form on the portable blue rink. Despite grabbing a one-set lead, Gillett found Foster a tougher nut to crack in the second set, as the Scot inevitably produced a better standard of bowls, and the Troon Taxi proprietor comfortably ran out an easy winner to trigger a three-end lottery. The momentum had swung Foster's way, and he looked the favourite to progress, but Gillett was having none of it. After taking the first end, he then made sure he got in close on the second, with Foster resorting to what he described afterwards as a hit-and-hope shot, but to no avail. "I don't think Les played his best today, but he didn't have to," added Foster. "I played better in the second set, but it was very disappointing. I can play a lot better than that, but full credit to Les and good luck to him."
Cycling.
Tacey looking towards top 10 as she steps up. April Tacey faces the first real examination of how her winter training has gone when she competes at the National Track Championships later this week. The Birstall rider, who has stepped up to the senior ranks with Fusion RT for the coming road season, has a busy schedule ahead of her at Manchester, but is preparing well for the step up, both on the track and into the road racing season this spring and summer. "Training is going really well," said the county racer, who dominated the inaugural National Junior Women's Road Series last season. "I have done lots of miles over the winter, and I've been on track quite a bit, because I've got the track nationals at the end of January. I'm competing in the individual pursuit, and I might be competing in team pursuit too. Then, I'm in the points race and the scratch." She is setting realistic goals as well, recognising the step up in level she is making at 18 years old. "There are qualifiers in the events, and I want to get into the finals in all the races. Top 10 would be good," she said. From there, the road beckons, after a get-together with her new Fusion teammates. Tacey has plenty to build on too. A form on the road last season earning her a call into Great Britain colours for the World Junior Championships in September. "As well as miles, I've been doing a team training camp at the end of February into March in Mallorca, so that should be good. In the National Women's Road Race Series, I want to come top 10 in quite a few of the races. I think I'm capable of that. I've gradually made the step up throughout the last few years. The more training you put in, the better you will get." Welland Valley's James Moore is maintaining his off-road form right to the end of the cyclocross season. Moore picked up back-to-back wins at the weekend. He was first home at Broxdow County Park, where round 10 of the Notts and Derby League was staged, and he followed up with the first place among the over-40s at Minson Hall for the fourth round of Central Cross League. Libby Bell was again in top form for Leicester Forest. The newly crowned national champion took the girls' under-14 honours.
Golf.
Welcome return to form for Hoy. There was a welcome return to form for Mike Hoy as the seniors played round 6 of their Winter League at Greetham Valley on Monday. Hoy has clearly refound his mojo after such a torrid time recently that saw him give up golf for a few weeks. He stormed around the course to a total 41 points thanks to 2 birdies on the 4th and 7th and a further 5 pars. With 22 points on the outward half, he was in good shape for an even better score, but a careless slip on 16 meant that he could only score a 7 on that hole before he finished with a par on the last. Close behind him with 40 points was Tony Mould, who had an exceptionally steady round and was well placed as he stood on the 9th tee at only 2 over gross, but unfortunately that hole got away from him as he failed to score. Notwithstanding that setback, he completed the back 9 in level par, thanks to a birdie on the 12th, to complete an excellent round with 13 pars and 1 birdie. Veteran Chris Gray surprised many, including himself, as he took 3rd spot on the countback with 40 in a round which included 2 failures, but a birdie on the 6th garnered a hatful of points. In addition to that, Chris was pleased to par the 17th, and hoped to repeat the exercise on the last, but ran into trouble with the water. 5 rounds of the Gents' Winter Order of Merit means that the halfway stage has been reached. On the Lakes course, on a decidedly cool day, Daniel Kettle produced an excellent round to score 41 points, although this will surprise no one, particularly those who have played Daniel and his partner in the Winter League. A very credible 2nd place went to Craig Allen with 40 points, which included an outstanding 22 on the back 9. Darren Child took 3rd spot with 37 in a countback calculation with several others. At this halfway stage, Kettle is at the top of the order of merit, closely followed by Tony Mould. Allen and Chris Ellis are fighting it out for 3rd. The ladies played round 7 of their Order of Merit on the Valley course, and 13 players went out, wrapped up well against the icy weather. Most players found those conditions very challenging, except the day's winner, Yasmin Bass, who took the conditions in her stride and came in with 38 points. She had a very steady round, scored on every single hole and amassed 6 three-pointers. Having started the Order of Merit with a handicap of 27, she's now down to 25. In 2nd place was Pat Jameson with 32 points. She also had a steady round and only failed to score on one hole. 3rd place was Sophie Beardsall with 29. 4th was Leslie Young with 25. And 5th, Angela Wheeler with 23 points. Following these results, Young still holds the overall lead as a result of her fourth place. Bass's win, achieving 25 Order of Merit points, has pushed her forward to second in the leaderboard, and with Nicola Toon failing to make the top five, she has slipped back into fourth place, thus allowing Beardsall to advance into the top three. The top three players are only separated by 13 points, with Young on 86, Bass on 74.5, and Beardsall lying third with 63.5. During the week, the ladies also played a Paris Better Ball 9-hole competition with some brilliant scoring. In third place was Rachel Southwell and Dee Hinch with 22 points, just losing out on countback to Leslie Young and Chris Edwards, while the leading team of Irene Basto and Sue Wills came home with 23 points.
Golf in brief. Now a playing professional in the USA, Greg Eason, the former top county amateur at Kirby Muxloe Golf Club, has enjoyed more success over the past few days. Eason finished runner-up with his 11-under-par 133 aggregate in the two-day Winter Classic tournament, competing on the Florida Elite Golf Tour at Orange County National Golf Club. He opened with a stunning bogey-free 9-under-par 63, followed by a 2-under-70 and ended just two strokes behind the winner in a field of 100+. Eason was out in 4-under-32 in his opening half of round one, with birdies at the first and three in a row from the third, following up with 5-under-31 when he had three more successive birdies from 13 and signed off in style with birdies at the last two. In round two, he went out in 2-under-34 and came back in level 36, including a birdie at the last. The latest success came just days after he secured his 2019 PGA Latin America Tour card. Danny Spillane of Rothley Park amassed 38 points to finish first in the professional awards when the second half of the County Golf Alliance season got underway at Market Harbour Golf Club in dry, sunny, but bitterly cold weather. Michael Reid of Glengorse was runner-up on 34 points, with Matt Ulliott of Lutterworth third on 33. There was a three-way tie on 32 between John Williamson of Birstall, Richard Reid of Glengorse, and Neil Parker of Humberston Heights. Williamson's tally brings his total to 49 points to increase his lead at the top of the Professional Order of Merit table, with Michael Reid now on 42 points, taking over second spot on his own from Craig Shave of Cosby on 41 points. Hinckley amateurs Bob Watts and John Spatcher were first overall after a tie on 44 points, ahead of pro Bryn Morris of Kibworth and Daniel Crowfoot of Kirby Muxloe in second, Paul Burke of Whetstone and Adrian Howe of Forest Hills in third, all resolved on Alliance rule. Spatcher and Watts are joint second in the overall Alliance Order of Merit at present. Spillane and Rothley Park amateur John Dukonski also won the Pro-Am section prize at Market Harbour with their 43-point haul, with Scraptoff's Marcus Pearson and Martin Hall, 44 points, the Am-Am section award winners.
Hockey.
Firsts pay the price for moments of madness. After a hard-fought draw against top-four rivals Derwent the previous weekend, Melton welcomed table-topping North Notts to Burton Road on Saturday. Despite giving a good account of themselves at times, the Reds came up short with a 5-1 defeat thanks to 5 minutes of madness. Notts have won most of their games in East Midlands Division 1 this season, largely around the counter-attack. Therefore, it was no surprise when Melton dominated possession for long periods of the first half. Early chances fell to Cramphorn and Syburn, but the home side couldn't make their dominance count, and against the run of play, Notts found themselves at the top of the area and a straight strike put them ahead. Melton responded well, earning several penalty corners, and as the pressure ramped up, Hewitt's flick towards goal beat the Notts keeper. At half-time, the game was too tight to call, and it seemed that Melton would only lose the game if they got caught on the break. However, Melton started the second half sluggishly, and were punished when a Notts player waltzed through the home defence. Bearing down on goal, the forward was stopped by an illegal challenge from Pollard, which earned a penalty flick, and, as last man, a trip to the sin bin to compound things. Notts comfortably made it 2-1. What happened next was a disappointment for the Reds. Down to 10 men, they appeared to panic as they desperately tried to get back on level terms. Instead, they found themselves caught cold 3 times in quick succession, and by the time Pollard was waved back on, Melton were 5-1 down and out of the game.
After the setback, the game returned to a similar pattern to the first half. A few chances came for the home side, but they never truly looked like mounting a comeback, and the game petered out, much to Melton's chagrin. The first 11 slipped to fifth, but stayed just 4 points behind second-placed Ashby. They head back out on the road on Saturday as they visit Colville, looking for a more controlled performance.
Netball.
Warriors open 29 account with big victory.
Charnwood and Rutland Warriors took to the court for the first time in 2019 in the National Premier League against Jersey Jets at their Brooksby Melton College home. Both teams fought hard until the last second, but Warriors comfortably took the win, 63-27. In the first quarter, both teams had a strong start contesting for every ball, but Charnwood began to build a lead as they settled into the match. Charnwood ended the first quarter with a 17-6 lead and were eager to increase it in the next. From attack all the way down to defence, Charnwood continued to force further turnovers in the second quarter and pushed to extend their lead to 35-12, winning the quarter by a big 18-6 margin. With the lead big enough, they were able to bring fresh legs off the bench, and the third quarter was a test for Warriors to settle with the new players on the court. The Jets still contested the game fiercely and took some turnovers, but Warriors didn't let it affect their play, adding to the lead and winning the quarter 15-5 for an overall 50-17 advantage. Charnwood had a massive lead to take into the final quarter, but maintained their composure and possession through the court and took every goal possible to finish with a big 63-27 win. The last quarter was much closer, with Warriors just shading it, as the Jets refused to give up, and each team gave everything until the final whistle.
Marvels give league leaders a test. Melton Marvels 1 had their first game of 2019, after what felt like a long Christmas break with no training or matches, and faced the league leaders, Grasshoppers 1. While Marvels were finding their feet, Grasshoppers took the advantage and built a 12-4 lead by the end of the first quarter. The Melton team switched on and shaded the second quarter, reducing the deficit to 25-18 at half-time. The third quarter saw the Leicester-based side pushing hard to increase their lead to 25-37. But Marvels didn't drop their heads in the final quarter and match their opponents goal for goal as the match ended 45-33. This is the Marvels' first season playing in the Leicester Netball League Premiership, and they currently sit around mid-table. The team will now look to secure a few more wins in order to ensure their safety and continue their progress in this division next season.
Speedway.
Great Scott! Ex-champ Nichols to lead Lions. Leicester team manager Stuart Dixon has named Scott Nichols as the club's new captain for the 2019 season. Dixon views the appointment of the seven-time British champion as someone who will bring so much to the team in terms of experience and knowledge. "Scott Nichols was always going to be my first choice as captain," said Dixon. "I knew that Scott would be the ideal man to lead us. We have a relatively young team, and the reserve positions are going to be so crucial for us this season. Scott will be on hand with me to encourage them all the way." Nichols joined Leicester in July and made 11 appearances for the Lions before a broken ankle ended his season. He will take over the role as team captain from Danny King, who has signed to ride for Sheffield. Dixon said, "Scott's experience with having ridden the away tracks many times means he will be able to show the younger members the proper racing lines to race, which will be so beneficial to them and the other guys in the team too. I'm sure everyone will be asking him for advice, and he has already told me that he likes that part of the job. He was very excited to be given the captaincy. It's something he wanted, and I'm sure he will do a fantastic job for Leicester." Connor Mountain and Jack Thomas will start the season for Watling JCB Lions at reserve. Mountain showed a great deal of promise last season for the Lions, which earned the 21-year-old a full contract in September. Thomas is the younger of the two at 19, and he made his debut in the Championship with Glasgow. Thomas, along with his new teammates, Josh Bates and Ellis Perks, has been practicing at the Paul Chapman and Sons Arena this month. Bates is on the comeback trial after missing the whole of last season following an off-track injury sustained in February when he broke a vertebrae whilst out sledging near his home in South Yorkshire. The former British under-21 champion came through a fitness test spread over 2 days at the Leicester track last week without feeling any ill effect, and and will take his place in the team when the speedway season starts in March.
Table tennis.
Runaway leaders see off KP teams in toughest tests. Blaby and Whetstone seconds, the runaway leaders in Division 5 of the Leicester and District League, had their toughest challenge so far when meeting the two young Knighton Park teams, but were not found wanting as they showed impressive team depth in winning both matches. Against Knighton Park ninths, they won 7-3, but not before Alan Wilson had lost his unbeaten tag to Alex Randall, who could not quite win another, going down 15-13 in the fifth earlier in the match against Jack Angrave. Charlie Gilmore-Evans won 2 for KP, while all three of the Blaby side won a brace, Tom Phipps being the third player. Next up was the KP 10th team, for whom Michael Parker scored 2 impressive victories, while Hugh Duffield and Roma Morjaria, the latter still a cadet, each won 1. Once again, Blaby showed their strength in depth, with Phipps and Angrave each winning 2, while Wilson just the 1, but still retaining top position in the individual averages, his two teammates second and third. To round it off, Phipps and Angrave won the doubles for full points. When Holwell Sports entered a second team this season, the highest spare place was in Division 3, where they were quite happy to settle in with promotion in mind. They beat Regent Sports 7-3 when Mike James won 3 to retain his place at the top of the averages. A feature of the match was a win for Regent's Richard Anderson, who was graded at 139 as he beat the top-graded player in the division, Dave Roche, who was on 203, the highest difference so far this season.
Tennis.
Ladies take title count into double figures. Melton Mowbray Tennis Club chairman Nigel Haynes was quick to praise the efforts of their teams after the ladies' first team clinched the Winter League Division 1 title. It maintained the team's top form, having been crowned Summer League champions last year, and made it 10 league titles for the club in only its second season. Nigel said, "We are still only in our second season, but on the courts, the club's youngsters have performed far and away above any expectations that we had dreamt of. 11 titles in our first year, and 10 this year, is quite incredible. The youngsters have done the club proud, but we can't forget the wonderful work being achieved off the courts by many of our members and supporters who have donated their time and finance to improve the facility. We have a thriving junior section led by head coach Di Burdett, a schools programme led by Charlotte Griffin and assisted by Ryan Palmer, and a tennis disability project started in 2018 and headed up by Brent Horobin." He added, "We are still building on our strengths, but we are still looking to improve in certain areas and have no intention of becoming complacent. We work closely with Melton Council in an effort to rectify the court condition and truly believe that improvements may be just around the corner." Ladies team skipper, Chest Gadsby, led the way as they rounded off their season with a commanding 8-0 win over a spirited Rothley Firsts. The result was enough to clinch the title by 2 points from Leicestershire A, with Carisbrook A 10 points further adrift, and long-time favourites Loughborough Firsts in fourth. Against Rothley, Charlotte Griffin and Sarah Diver were in outstanding form, losing just 3 games in winning their 4 sets, while Jess with Ellie Jenkins also weighed in with 4 sets, losing just 6 games. Sarah Diver topped the league's individual statistics with 11 out of 12 wins, with Jess Gadsby in second place with 8 wins out of 10. Corinne Blythe was 5th with 7 out of 8, and Ellie Jenkins was 7th with 7 out of 12. Other players involved in taking the title were Sumitra Fox and Carol Gilchrist. Last summer, the club's men took the Division 2 Aegon title before collecting a hat-trick of Division 1 titles in the men's, ladies and mixed categories. The men's second team took the Division 4A title, and the mixed second team won the Division 3B crown. And going into the Winter Leagues, Melton came out on top in the ladies' Division 1 and Division 7, and the men's third team took the Division 9 title. There was also a Junior League win, together with runners-up spots and promotion for the Summer League ladies' second team in Division 3B and men's Winter League second team.
You have now reached the end of the audio transcription of the back page. If you'd like to contact the Sound Services Department of Vista, please telephone 0116 249 8839 and leave a message on the answering machine. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.